Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome all to another episode of the FSHD Straight Talk podcast. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and thanks for being here. Today's episode, we have two great guests sitting in with us today. Always fun having guests on that are, well, these are siblings. One is Michael and Michelle Allers, and both have FSHD. Michelle was diagnosed earlier, Michael later, and Michael's also a cyclist, and he is doing two huge events that we're going to talk about. So imagine if, you know, you have what we have, this muscular dystrophy, and you don't want to give up, right? What we physically have always loved, perhaps. For Michael, it's bike riding. And Michelle has supported him through his whole life. In fact, she even says in this interview how she was really hoping he wouldn't have it, that she would take the burden, which is incredible. Now, Michael admits he doesn't have it as bad as Michelle or even others, as he says, but nonetheless, he's taking his skills of being a cyclist, his passion of being a cyclist, and putting them into action. Very similar to George Pollock, who we've had on before. And there are some crossovers from what George has done with his cycling life and what Michael's doing with his. So Michael's doing, and he's going to promote this, and I really want you to check it out. It is the Ride for Muscular Dystrophy, June 7th. Boulder Sports Physiotherapy is part of this sponsorship, I believe, or at least they're promoting it heavily. And you can check it out and you can donate. So this is happening right now. Then there is the other event that Michael is doing called the Triple Bypass. This is where there is definitely a correlation between, or a common between George Pollock and Michael. Both have done this event. I guess Michael has done it often in the past. Those that don't know what the Triple Bypass is, it's July 12th. It's in Colorado. They go through three bypasses, and we'll talk about specifics exactly throughout Colorado where they bike. But it's a lot of elevation, a lot of endurance, and we talk about that. That's one of the key things, right, is endurance. Being family members sharing this disease is also the togetherness, the family. Not everybody loves their family, but I can tell you right now, after this interview, you know that Michelle and Michael do. And they even briefly talk about how they weren't close. There was a problem in the family and so forth, but yet not necessarily maybe of their own fault. Things happen. We all have those kind of things in our family, but they reconnect. And in some weird way, I can't help but think throughout this conversation I had with them that FSHD kind of binds them even a little tighter, you know? So it's fantastic. It's fantastic to hear. So if you want to reach out to me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is my email address. Don't forget to follow FSHD Society as well as the show anywhere you find podcasts, Spotify and so forth. Share it like crazy if you can. Also social media. Take it out there into the world. We want people to know about the show that maybe not necessarily have FSHD or even know maybe what it is. So it's a good educational tool, I hope. It's also inspirational stories that you can share with others that are maybe trying to overcome whatever their something is in their life. I think this podcast can help. And these guests can help for sure. And make no mistake, the two people that we're going to talk to today have that and they deliver some amazing positive vibes for sure. So hope you enjoyed this conversation that I had with the Allers. Hi, everyone. I've got some exciting news for you from the FSHD community. If you've ever felt the unpredictability of FSHD or wish there was more accurate research and information out there, and I know you have, then listen up. I'm thrilled to tell you about Better Life FSHD, a groundbreaking new research platform from the FSHD Society that's changing the game for those of us living with FSHD. Better Life is your one-stop hub for tracking symptoms, accessing personalized resources like articles and videos relevant to you. And the best part, as you take surveys and track your symptoms, you provide FSHD researchers with better data to understand this complex, understudied disease. And a better understanding can lead to faster treatments, something everyone, every one of us can get behind. So head over to betterlifefshd.org and join the study. It only takes a minute to get signed up. Together, we can change the future for everyone affected by FSHD. I've done this. It's a simple process. I challenge you to do the same. Again, that's betterlifefshd.org. Now let's get back to the show. So as promised, we have a fantastic pair of people here in the show. Not always, we don't always have two guests at the same time, but when we do, it's usually a lot of fun, right? And so we have Michelle and Michael Ahlers. Am I saying this correctly?
You are.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Yes.
We're here for multiple reasons. One is because we want you to share your story with us, as everybody's FSHD story is unique, just like the disease affects each of us uniquely. I think that's going to be interesting to talk about, but we definitely have to make sure we talk about the fundraising events, because Michael is a cyclist, very similar to George Pollack. He's going on this great venture called the Triple Bypass in July. He's also going to talk to us, too, about another event happening in June on the 7th. So a lot to unpack with the fundraising. So right now, if you're listening to the show, go ahead and open up another tab. Go ahead and click into like triplebypass.org and all that kind of stuff. You can see what that's about and how insane it is with someone with a disease like this is going to tackle this cycling event. For sure. So without further ado, thanks for being here. And
thank you for having us.
Yeah, having us.
Yeah, it's great. I'm glad that we could do this. I guess the place to start was where I love to start all the time, right? People's FSHD story. So whoever wants to dive in first, Michael's already looking at Michelle.
So, yeah, looking at me. Yeah. Well, just a little background. Mm-hmm. I was always very athletic, long distance mm-hmm. runner. And I noticed probably in my mid-30s that I was losing muscle in my quad. The vastus medialis muscle disappeared, and the doctor couldn't figure it out. But I didn't think anything of it. I just did my thing. And then I noticed that I couldn't keep my arms up, but I still, I just adapted.
Yeah. And
I also, my foot was like hit slapping the ground. My friend actually knows, what are you, your foot slapping? I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, you just don't think of these things. You're 30. I don't care. So when I couldn't run anymore, I started walking. I didn't even think about anything, because make a long story short, we didn't know that a relative had this.
Oh, so, gotcha. Okay.
So then I was formally diagnosed in 2014 after being misdiagnosed many times, other things. And I went into the neuromuscular guy and he said, I'll turn around. Oh yeah, you got FSHD. I'm like, what is that?
Wow. So they saw it just like that, the physical.
Yeah, he just turned around and I'm like, boom. He goes, raise your arms. He goes, oh yeah, you got wings.
Wow. You got wings, right. But you can't fly. But yes, you have wings.
Can't fly, no. So when I got the news, I was still very active. So, and I was working, I worked in healthcare, and I'm like, okay, all right. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it so much. I said, can I have a DNA or a test, a gene test? And he said, okay. So yeah, I confirmed that I did. And that kind of hit hard a little bit, but I just didn't let it get to me. It's not like I denied having it. I just keep going.
Yeah.
And so I worked in healthcare. And then in 2020 is when I had to retire. It was getting hard for me because healthcare, you're on your feet 12 hours a day and no breaks. And
and
I was falling more. Yeah. And I'm a good faller. I dropped the roll. So then I retired and I still, we have a lot of property and I do gardening and I cut the grass and I still work out 5 days a week, cardio and weights.
Wow.
I keep going. I just keep, because that's who I am. then accelerated a little bit in 2022. So I have to walk with a cane when I'm out, just for to give me some security. So that's where we are. I am involved in a clinical trial, Avidity. I just started my infusions in March, and it's for a year, and we'll see how things go.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. Yeah.
And you think you're getting the drug, right?
I really do. That's what I think. Because the first infusion, I had a side effect, which I didn't want to know anything about. I didn't want to know the side effects. And I said, boy, I had this headache. And they said, I said, is that a side effect? And they said, oh yeah. So I don't know. I think I do. But anyways,
I'm interesting.
A thinker.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be, right? I mean, I would be excited if I were you just to be involved with it. But yeah, the chances of you having it, you know, the actual drug would be remarkable, especially if you felt some changes. Are you able to talk more about that and how you're going?
No, I'm not. I did ask my the coordinator, and she's
yeah, but that's what I figured.
Yeah, but it's been going on since 2023.
Okay. So you're
one thing about clinical trials, which it's really hard to get in, to get somebody to respond to you. That I brought it up to one of the people at the FSHD Society, and they were surprised. I said, I had a heck of a time. Mm-hmm. And fortunately or unfortunately, my husband's very distant cousin has FSHD, and he's been in clinical trials. So he kind of helped me get connected. So at least talk to somebody, you know what I mean? So that was nice. I'm grateful for him. But my advice to people is to keep going, do as much as you can. Don't be hard on yourself. Allow yourself. If I have a bad day, which is here and there, I'm like, okay, tomorrow's a new day. You got to think, eat clean. You got to be positive. It's a lot mental, because your mental affects your physical. In me, what I have experienced.
Right.
And management your stress.
Yeah,
the thing that really bothered me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to drop down.
Go ahead. No, this is good. This is good. What bothered you? I know. I don't want her to stop.
The thing that really crushed me, I mean, I could handle it, but when my brother called me and told me, I didn't cry in front of him, but it made me cry, because I'm like, I got this, but not him. So that's all I'm going to say.
No, I get it. I get that part of it for sure. Like, I'll take the burden, you know, put it on my shoulders type attitude. Absolutely.
Yes.
I totally get it. I mean, in our house, it's like this same kind of thing. As far as I know, I'm the only one that has it. I can't see that if my boys do or not, and they're 18 and 16, still pretty young. But you know, like, we treat FSHD around here like a bad roommate, to be honest with you. You know, he's like I said, like he makes me fall down, you know, it makes me move slower. I can't do the things I used to do. I mean, you know, he's just a real jerk. But the point is like, you know, it is its own entity that only I want to take on, even though I know other people are experiencing some of it with me. In a lot of cases, I almost feel like my wife might as well have it with me because of the some things that she has to adjust to and adapt to, because I can't do it anymore. And I can't imagine what that looks like from like her vantage point, like seeing the person I was and slowly start to change to where we are now, as you kind of gave us that timeline, right, of how things evolve and change. How quickly were the changes then from like when you were first diagnosed to where you are? Because you mentioned like 30 years old were you diagnosed? Was that right?
No, I God bless you.
I know,
you.
I'm going to still you.
In 2014, so I was in like 47.
Okay. Yeah, 47. Yep, and I was 40, so yeah.
Yeah, but looking back, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. But
sure.
So our maternal grandfather had it, and then we have a second cousin, maternal cousin Gus, who also has it.
Okay.
But I can see in our we have like seven cousins.
I have one of those creatures like that. Yeah.
So we have like seven cousins, and I could see. Not they were diagnosed, but I could see like a little, like their shoulders, but they're not officially diagnosed.
Okay.
Sense.
Okay. Yeah, it's that was one of my questions too. Like, is it in the family? Obviously, your brother and sister. So clearly, yeah. Family, but like beyond you, you know, both. Now, Michael, then what's your side of this? Because it sounds like Michelle's had it first, or at least the signs of it first, and then the diagnosis first, and she kind of walked that trail, and obviously was willing to do very admirable of her to take on it all on. That's not what fate gives, right? So what then is your FSHD story?
So I am lucky that so far my symptoms are slight. My neurologists at UC Health in Colorado has measured some decline, but it's still very small. So far I'm lucky. Like, I'm still able to ride my bike. But kind of going a little further back from that, Michelle and I were separated for decades. Distance happened, and when we got reunited, the very first thing she does after 30 years is she feels my upper back, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so relieved. You don't have it."
Wow.
So she's immediately poking around my scapula to see if they're waking at all. Very first thing she does. I'm like, oh, what a nice hug. Oh, nope, this is a medical.
No, she's totally like, she's totally like seeing what's out of place or not. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You're being kind of like FSHD frisked more or less. Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. FSHD frisked. Yes. Yeah, this is what we're going to call the medical procedure from now on.
Sure.
So like, I'm looking at her and I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is a terrible disease. I can't imagine having that. So fast forward a little bit, I forget what year it was exactly, but in, I would say around like, winter of 23, I began to develop this really severe upper back pain. And I don't think I'm a wuss when it comes to pain. And so I would put this like easily like an 8 or 9 on the pain scale.
Wow.
Like, bad. No amount of, I mean, like a huge dose of ibuprofen would barely take the edge off it. So at the same time, I'm routinely working with a physical therapist, Lindsay Mayer, with Boulder Sports Physiotherapy. And she's helping me out, like, you know, with recovery from exercise and all that, dry needling, you know, like routine stuff, not treating disease, just trying to keep myself fit. And so when I start to tell her about these symptoms and she examines me, she says, Michael, you need to get to the bottom of this. And now I understand it's kind of like a wink and a nod that she cannot give medical advice outside her domain.
Okay.
So I started working with my PCP, and my PCP knows about Michelle's diagnosis. And so we were rolling out a number of things. She put me in touch with a neurologist named Dr. Dixon, who I understand is phenomenal in the field. And we get the genetic test. And it comes back positive. And it turns out that that is a likely explanation for that upper back pain. Mm-hmm. And so I met with Dr. Dixon. She confirmed the diagnosis. And she explained to me this this really chilling kind of forecast of like, you could be in a wheelchair at 50 or mildly inconvenienced at 70 or everything in between. We don't really know. There's no way to know. And what's interesting is, like, I've just turned 45. I'm about the age Michelle was when she started to develop her symptoms. And part of what's interesting about this is when I look back on over 20 years of cycling, I've been an avid cyclist since like early 2000s, occasionally competitive, you know, all amateur, but you know, I'm really serious about my bike. And I'm also a big nerd. So I have tons of data from this time frame. When I zoom out to my data, there's always a decline, a trough in my performance sometime around late winter, early spring, where just I struggle to do workouts. I'm struggling to recover from workouts. And this happened in 23, actually, when I was training for Triple Bypass for our first fundraiser together. I just fell apart in the early spring. And I'm freaking out. Like, you know, I can barely do easy workouts. And it happened again in 24. And it just happened this past year where I was crushing it. My workouts were great. And then all of a sudden, like that, I start to feel like vibrating and tingling sensations in my quads. Really easy efforts are difficult. And then since then, I've started to like come back out of this trough. I'm able to complete workouts again. But to recap that, like looking over my history, like this is part of a recurring pattern. And I never had an explanation for why. I always assumed like I'm overtrained or I need more protein or make some adjustments. And then just kind of like what Michelle did, she just adapted and powered through it. So that's kind of how I arrived at the diagnosis. And it's interesting that it yields an explanation for a lot of experiences that I had well before I even knew what this disease was. And just kind of like where I am with it today, like before I got into cycling, I was not very fit, not active, not very driven, not goal focused. Cycling changed my life so much for the better. Like it taught me focus and it taught me how to work towards something. And I'm thinking like I'd become so dependent on it for physical and mental health that I'm not going to lie. Like I'm scared about what's going to happen if I lose that. And I don't know how to adapt to that yet. That's going to be a real struggle. But the good news is, there's promising drugs like, you know, Michelle mentioned Avidity. I might just luck out, you know. Yeah. I hate to say it. I feel a little guilty putting it in those terms. But then also, like, apart from any material treatments for the disease, you know, there's ways to attack it. You know, we're working on this fundraiser. We're doing, like, interviews like this, trying to get the word out, raise money, awareness. So far, like that's the best and only thing that I can do, apart from all the usual advices like, you know, eat clean, manage inflammation, you manage stress, good sleep, you know, like all the stuff that we should all be doing anyway. But the fundraiser activities are where I'm able to like do something about it.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, totally get it. Like you have to take the diagnosis. Sounds like you got what I got with the doom and gloom diagnosis. Right. There's no cure. There's no treatment. If you're going to work out, just don't do crazy weights, maybe do more reps, lighter weights, get into yoga, Okay. You know, okay. But I'm very similar to you in the regard of where cycling is your, you know, mental health vitamin, you know, C, so to speak. And it's a part of probably who you are.
Yes.
You probably have cycling clothes when you're not even cycling that you probably wear. You probably have, you know, like that's me, but as baseball, like right now I have baseball stuff on immediately. Yeah. Interview. I'm running to a high school practice. I mean, running. It's like, you know, I'm moving swiftly as I can, but the baseball is become, you know, kind of who I am. I mean, if I go to the grocery store, if there's a family that I've interacted with baseball, it's Coach. It's not Tim, you know, and I don't even coach their kid anymore for years. It's just, that's the way it is. And I get it. So that's gone. Then what? Right. And like, I've always, well, my wife gives me great advice, you know, like, yeah, but you can stay involved in it. You know, you can still do things either if it's kids, or maybe you can't do the physical action, you know, being around it, you know, and I think, you know, that was probably, I would imagine that'd be something you would do too. If you can't physically maybe do the cycling as competitive as you want, I have a feeling you'd still find a way to totally around it. So then, Michelle, you hear then that Michael has this FSHD. You originally misdiagnosed him saying he didn't. So clearly, you know, the MD world's on you. Yeah. So then what was that feeling like then when you're hearing it? I know you mentioned a little bit it was emotional, it was difficult to take on. But, like, can you, like, take us back to that moment where he's like.
When I heard it that he had it?
Yeah. No, that he had it.
Oh, I cried.
Right.
I cried.
You didn't let him hear it or see
it.
Okay.
No. And you know, I said, what did I say? This didn't say it was, we've had some, what did I say? What news? I didn't say it was bad news. I said it was, I can't remember.
I had the short term of a goldfish. Yeah. So I can't, 10 seconds ago, it was gone.
And it was so funny because that I was in Columbus for the clinical trial. And I just got into the hotel room and he called me and I was like, you know, of course I held together. I said, don't look at me. There's so much going on out there and you're going to be fine. I mean, just had some big news. I called it big news. Not bad news, big news.
Okay.
And then we hung up and I cried and didn't sleep that night. Because I'm like, because Tim, I can handle it. I got it. I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, just don't mess with my
little
brother.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
My little brother.
So when I called her, I was thumbing this little card that the practitioner at the neurologist's office handed me. She's like, this organization might help you. And it's a little card advertising FSHD Society. Oh. Like, are you familiar with them? I'm like, a little bit. So I'm like thumbing that card in my hands as I'm talking to her. And I still have it.
Well, at least they gave you that. I don't think I even got a pamphlet.
When I was diagnosed with this neuromuscular doctor, he said, all right, you got this. We'll see you in a year.
Yeah.
If you need braces, give me a call.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was harsh.
I'm like, it is harsh. It is.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Take you out of
that. Yeah. You know, I got the speech of it's not life threatening, it's life shortening. If someone can still describe the difference to me, I would love to know. Like, wow. You know, I think a lot of the doctors I've met have like flunked bedside manner. You know, it's just, there's just none.
That's what I told my dad.
Like, it's not a big deal. You know,
he's got a good doctor.
Yeah.
That's good. That is key. And the one I have now is fine, but it's just more or less, you're right. The yearlies, it's just documenting my demise is kind of how I say.
Yeah.
It's like,
I have to be honest with you, Tim. I don't.
How it goes. You don't go?
I know when I'm weak.
Right.
I'm not going to pay $50 copay. I'm like, oh, I know that.
Right. Like, no doubt. Of course, I know that I am weaker than a year ago or whatnot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So by the speaking of like those yearly reviews, one thing that Dr. Dixon did immediately, and I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this earlier, like something that we can do about this is she enrolled me in the Move Plus study.
Okay.
Like right away. And I just had my first what would you call it? A baseline evaluation screening. And that was intense. And she also like compared it to when I got diagnosed in February and said, okay, yeah, you know, there's some slight decline here and there, but that was a cool experience. Like lots of like range of motion exercises, checking facial expressions, all sorts of things, you know, breathing, and it was a full MRI. I haven't spent that much time in an MRI ever. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I think the technology is so amazing because I'm a big nerd. So I'm like, this is so cool. And, you know, a lot of people are like, why am I stuck in this tube? I digress. So that is like an interesting thing. So like, you know, every year I'll be going in and doing these exams repeatedly. And they mentioned like that's, I'm a good specimen for this because like, I'm still, you know, mostly able-bodied.
Yeah.
And like, you know, cool, we're going to have like a long, you know, natural history to progression to track here. So.
Right. That's good. Yeah. And to be a part of that and that she had the wherewithal, your doctor had the wherewithal to put you in it right away is fantastic. Sounds like you have a definite proactive.
She's involved.
Yeah,
very, very involved. So speaking of involved, the biggest part, right? Well, your stories, of course, are key to the next part, which is one of the main reasons why we're here is tell us about the two fundraising events that you're being a part of here in the summer. And one's in June, one's in July, right?
Yeah. Okay, so let me speak to the one that's in June first. So I still thank Lindsay for prompting me to go about doing this, get to the root of like that back pain I described. So when she found out about this, she and her business partner, Sarah, they're like, well, let's take this up a notch. They said, do you want to put on an event? So we're putting on a bike ride starting from Boulder, Colorado, June 7th, Saturday, June 7th. You know, if you go to md.bike, put that in your web browser, that will take you to the signup page and it's a $40 donation. It all goes to the FSHD Society. And we have a couple routes, a shorter like 22-mile route, a longer 45. We're hoping that we've raised, you know, close to $600 with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Not
very
not
good.
And none of us have put on an event before, so this has been a learning experience. And I'm really fortunate that I have all kinds of connections in like the local Colorado area, specifically with like through Evergreen Ride Club. And so all my community there has jumped in on giving advice and helping guide this. George Pollock has been a huge help to us. So that's one of the events. But then when Michelle and I, when we first got reunited and I learned about FSHD Society, kind of like our main focus has been this fundraiser that's built up around this ride called Triple Bypass. Mm-hmm. And so Triple Bypass is it's about a 120 mile ride from Evergreen, Colorado out to Avon, goes over three mountain passes, Juniper, Loveland, and Vail. You get about 11,000 feet of climbing, big event. And what's cool is that, again, my friends from Evergreen Ride Club, that's the organization that originally put this on, they set it up so you could use it as a fundraising platform. And I think our first year doing this, we raised a couple thousand. Oh, how much did we raise? Wow. We raised $6,000.
Fantastic.
In 23. We wow. just crossed the $8,000 mark on this year's fundraiser.
Wow.
So we set
there's
up
time, there's still time. Yeah, there's yeah. still time. Wow.
Yeah, we've got like
it's remarkable
months before this event. So
fantastic.
Yeah, we're hoping maybe this will give a little boost. Mm-hmm. I mean, the URL will be in the show notes, but that has a different link than the other one. Mm-hmm. So that is fshd.gives/allers. And of course, you know, the show notes all the details, I hope, but
it does. Yeah, it'll have all the links wherever great. You found the podcast or even on YouTube. There'll be a hot link right there so you can go click, donate, follow what's going on. It is a huge event, though, especially the Triple Bypass. As I, you know, I talked to George about it, I think that was last year. Yeah. I think when he was going to jump into it. And then I'm always just absolutely enamored with the fact that someone with this disease can handle that kind of a bike ride because of the distance, of course, but also the altitude that you're coping with. So like that's nuts. There's no way I'm doing that. I would probably just maybe saddle up, you know, maybe go about a mile and go, you know what? I'm good. I came, put my helmet on. I did my stuff. I look horrible in the tight outfit. I'm out of here. But for you guys, I mean, just the training you enjoy. I mean, I just can't get over how you just like, let's just do this. It's just remarkable. So how long does it take to train to do something like this?
I usually start training about like January of each year for this event. Okay. And this bike ride has been my favorite thing since I first learned about it in 2018. So I've done it every year. This year, all things considered, I'm hoping to break 7 hours. My best time on the course is 7 hours, 9 minutes. I'm trying to beat that this year. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But, you know, like I mentioned, like there's been some challenges with the training. You know, I think the body is rebelling a little bit thanks to this condition. But you know, we're still going to give it a try. So far so good. You know, I feel like I'm bouncing back from, you know, from this episode over, you know, since end of January. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is interesting. Yeah. That you're tracking the ups and downs of it and like what's happening with your workouts. At least you still get ups, right? I've had more of the stair falls, as they call it, where you're going good and then you drop and you lose something and then you boom, 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 right. So, yeah. Right, the farther we can put those away from each other, the better. But the fact you're cycling and keeping in shape, obviously, eating cleaner, that takes a lot of discipline, which I don't have a ton of. So, you know, it's not my fault that there's a lot of like Little Debbie snacks here and there. I have kids. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't have to waste. So, you know, I don't have all, but I do try to work out. Yes, I do. And like not nearly to the extent that sounds like you guys do. But if you would give then maybe like advice to somebody, I mean, just with that part of it, like workout, someone that doesn't normally have an athletic maybe background, but they realize, okay, I have to get moving or doing something here. What would be your advice? This could come from either one of you, you know, of what would be like that first step? Like at least do this, at least start here.
It's difficult to answer that. The reason I say so is that, it can be difficult speaking personally. Like I struggle with like intrinsic motivation. A lot of like the cycling is extrinsic, you know, like, and I'm lucky that I landed on something that I feel very passionate about. Like when I first got into cycling, a buddy of mine back in Virginia got me into it and we did a bike race together and I was dropped from that bike race like in the first lap, but I got hooked and I'm like, I will get good at this. And it's like, it's something that like I've just thrown myself into for years. And like, I like you mentioned earlier, like it becomes part of your identity.
Right.
Your community is built up about it. And I'm fortunate that my wife, Heather, she gives me a lot of latitude to do this. You know, she knows through experience that it takes an enormous amount of time and discipline to be good at it. Like, you know, it's at a certain point, like if you are not consistent, like you don't really do all that well. But like the experience there is just like, this is something that like I just have a burning desire to do. And so that keeps me going. It's hard to find that, but if you can find that, like grab onto it, like white knuckle, hold onto it and just go for it, whatever it is. So, I mean, that's probably not the best advice, but it'd be hard to just like tell somebody like, oh, go to the gym and start lifting weights right. Or get yourself on a Peloton and, you know, watch one of those spin instructors, like shout at you. It's not going to take root.
Start slow. Simple and slow.
Mm-hmm. Simple and slow.
And don't say I'm gonna do this. No, I mean just move.
Mm-hmm.
Just move, man. Now, this is gonna be kind of our last question, man, because there's a lot to unpack. And maybe I think we have to bring you back on after the events because I'd really like to hear how it went and
oh my gosh,
the process and like how much money was raised, like kind of a recap, so to speak. But. Let me choose this question because I usually kind of go one or the other. We know FSHD is a physical disease. That's what we go to these doctors, talk about our body. But do you believe that what's more difficult to handle? Is it the physical side of FSHD or the mental, emotional side?
I think this is all you, Michelle.
Well, it depends on the day, Tim.
Good answer. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Every day's different.
Yeah.
Gosh, I guess it's more, well, if physical, I get mad if like I can't do something because I will find a way. It may look funny, but Michelle will win that rock. You know,
What's that expression? If it's stupid and it works, it's not stupid.
Yeah, right. It works.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's more physical.
Yeah. For you, it's more physical. Because do you find, though, that then that feeds into possibly then that mental?
Yes.
Not so good day.
And then it's a vicious cycle, then the mental.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, and like Mike, like you were saying about baseball and Mike, like I was a runner and.
You ran like 10 miles every day.
It was like my drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Therapy. It was my therapy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was at first I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? Cause that's what I do. And even my job, I loved what I did in healthcare, but it just happens. Mm-hmm. I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't explain it. Just, you got to look at what you still can do.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make yourself think that way. You have to say, I can still do this. I can still take care of myself. I can still smile. I'm glad that I can still smile.
Yeah.
So
I think a big part of it is like, you know, the fundraisers that we're doing really serve two purposes. Like there's of course FSHD Society. Research is expensive. It ain't cheap to you know, run the Avidity study or the Move Plus study, any of these things. But the other side of that coin is that every donation, every sign up means a lot to Michelle, especially. Sorry for everybody listening. I'm behind on sending out thank you notes, but like every time I write one of those thank you notes to a donor, I CC them and just tell them like it means the world to us that
absolutely.
like people care, like they took an action to do something, and like that, like, you know, everybody draws strength from that. It's a two-way street. It just lifts everybody up when there's a sense of, hey, you know what, I care about this enough to like help these people out. You know, many of them are total strangers, some of them are friends, some of them are family, but it all kind of just comes together and like the, you know, gives that sort of mental reinforcement that, that you need. You know, Michelle has done a fantastic job of being optimistic. I tend to lean more pessimistic personally, but so I don't know how she does it, but I think that this is fuel for the fire.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been fantastic. I'm not kidding. As soon as this is over, I'm probably going to email you and bother you when we can try to see what is a good time to reconnect again after these events, because I think our listeners want to know too. Like, we always hear about the ahead of time event, or maybe we can kind of see what's going on, but like, what happened after? Did he make it? How much did they raise? And I think that'll inspire even more people than they can find an event that they can do, you know? Yeah.
And that right there kind of, actually, I mean, the more I think about it, like going back to your earlier comment is like, you know, if somebody needs something to like compel them to move, I mean, the FSHS Society provides that. There's the walk and roll events, like, you know, make it something that you can like laser focus on and attack it. And like that gets you going. I think that alone would just like spur you into action. And then you feel like, hell yeah, like this is great. I'm doing something.
Absolutely.
You're doing something that helps you too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Michael, Michelle, thanks for joining us. We'll see you on the flip side when this is all done. We're looking forward to hearing how it all went. And good luck. Stay safe. For God's sake, stay on the bike. Don't fall down.
Rubber side down.
Well done. Thank you much.
Thank you so very much for having us on the show. Really appreciate you, Kim, Beth, everyone, you know, George, who's like joined in to help us out. So
we're
incredibly grateful. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. Take care, guys.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Wow. The spontaneity, you know, the drive to do this. And the only thing I can think of is when I think about cycling is similar to when I used to run a little bit. And I used to be kind of a distance runner way back. And it was always the mental side of the running. Like, why am I doing this? I got to keep going. And I found like a good trick, you know, that you have to, you know, talk to yourself, don't listen to yourself. So talk out loud to say, I can do this. These affirmations, don't listen to the negative thoughts that are rolling around in your head to stop. And they have great advice. Do something, get active. FSHD Society has fundraising events that actually involve movement. See if you can do that. Any little thing will help. It'll help your mental health. It'll help your body. So many things. We will circle back with them for sure. I'm definitely going to do that because I want to know how it went, the event itself. What were the struggles? What were the triumphs? How much did they raise? So many great questions we can have. And I challenge you to do that. You know, follow what he's doing. Follow what Michael's doing. And then when we have that next episode rolling up, when we probably, you know, I'd imagine like in August when this is done, we'll have them back on and like see how it went. And I want to hear some questions from you because I'm sure you're going to have some questions to ask of how this event went. So thanks again for being part of this show. I was so excited to have these people on. Michelle and Michael, thanks for being here. Absolutely. All the show notes have everything you need to know about the triple bypass, as well as the ride for muscular dystrophy that he's doing as well. One is on June 7th and one is July 12th. So check those out. Feel free to email me fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. If you want to be on the show or nominate someone to be on perhaps, and connect with me, love to hear from you. So thanks again for joining us. You've listened to the FSHD Straight Talk podcast. Take care.